You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Caring not that my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon they were multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Thank God for grace. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. Oh, we can praise him with a loud voice. We can honor him with our lips. We can praise him from our hearts. Marvelous grace. Amen. What a marvelous, marvelous ministry we just received. Amen. We should be full to the brim. Amen. Walking out of here differently. I'd like you to join me again in honoring the lady of this house, the pastor. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Wilson doing a great job. You can raise your voices another. That's right. Amen. 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 To all of the pastors and leaders and evangelists and all of you who are in ministry, I greet you. I guess it's afternoon by now, in the name of Jesus. But hug somebody and tell them, the grace of the Lord is in your life. The grace of the Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back at Raw. The Lord has given you longevity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What year is this? 21 years, amen. Tell your neighbor, we have grown up. We have grown up. 21 years, amen, amen. There's so many products and so many offerings. If you have any money left, amen, you can stop by the tape table, join and put this along with your other offerings. We have some offerings for you, DVD and CDs, that we know will be a blessing to you. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles, and I'm not going to hold you long, to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. The book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. And I'm reading from the King James Version, Revelation chapter 3 and the 18th verse. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So far the text. And a title of this sermon, I don't know about other ministers, but it always gets a little tricky as what to say in order to bring you into the text. But let's go shopping for gold. Let's go shopping for gold. You know, the book of Revelation has always been for men a very difficult book to interpret, along with Daniel and Ezekiel. Because this book is an apocalyptic literature, meaning it is unveiling or disclosing hidden things known only to God. I know many of us would like to think that we have special revelation to add, but there's no other revelation than what's in the book. So the book of Revelation is added along with the other literature such as Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. And this particular book uses a lot of symbols and images and numbers. And these images and numbers were given to the church at a time when persecution was very severe. And in order to get the message to the churches, they had to couch it in symbolic language. For example, the Christmas song that we sing at Christmas, you know, on the first day of Christmas, "My True Love Gave to Me," that's not a secular song. That's a religious song. Every one of those symbols represent a part of the faith, but they had to code it so that the enemy wouldn't know it. All right. Just Google it and find out if you don't believe me. All right. So Revelation is filled with a lot of symbolism because it was written to inform and strengthen believers in the face of persecution. But even though it's loaded with symbolism, the message is very clear that God is in control. And no matter what the devil does, he cannot frustrate the purpose of God. Who wrote this? John the Beloved. He was a circuit minister. We called him traveling evangelist. And he ministered at Ephesus, Pergamon, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. He was busy circling around and strengthening the churches. What was the occasion? The occasion is that John wrote to the angel of the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor, meaning the pastor of the churches or the leaders of the churches for the congregation. So he wrote to the pastors so that the pastors can confront, challenge, and comfort the churches. Where did he get the message? Straight from Jesus. Who gave them the message? Jesus himself. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." So he had a message to each church, but we want to just focus very quickly on the last church, the church at Laodicea. And Laodicea was a very wealthy city during the Roman period. It was so wealthy that one of the emperors was able to confiscate a lot of gold out of that city. It was a city that was destroyed in AD 60 by an earthquake. And when the Roman Empire offered to give them money, they said, "No, we don't need money. We can build the city ourselves." That's how wealthy they were. This city was known for its black wool industry. And it was also known for its special powder to cure cataracts and glaucoma. So they were advanced in industry, they were advanced in medicine, and they also had a sophisticated banking system. So this church was surrounded and inculcated and couched in wealth. Couched in accomplishment, couched in science, couched in intelligence. And it was this church that the message came. And the charge is that I know your works, in verse 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would prefer that you would choose to be cold. I can deal with cold or hot. One of the greatest diseases of the church is lukewarmness. One of the greatest diseases of any relationship is indifference. And that's what lukewarmness means. It means I'm neither here nor there. I'm speaking to you, but there's no response from you. I'm giving to you, but there is nothing that you're giving back. It's a place of neutrality. And if God be God, then follow him. If Baal be Baal, then follow him. But there is no room in a church of Jesus Christ for lukewarmness, tepidness. He said, because you're lukewarm, I now will have to spew you out of my mouth. So Matthew 24:12, let's just look at a few scriptures and we're going to move on. Hear God's word. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Joshua 24:15, it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, for far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs. So the challenge was, if God be God, then serve him. James 1:4 says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So the Lord has given us the ability to respond to him. He says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So says the Living Bible. So what was the charge? You're tepid. You're lukewarm. You're neutral. You're neither here nor there, and now I have to deal with you. What is the consequence? For every action, there is a consequence. And the enemy always makes us think that we can do what we want to do, but there is no consequence. Our children get in trouble because they feel like there is no consequence. People live above the law because they feel like there is no consequence. What is the consequence? The cause of indifference. What caused them to be indifferent? What caused them to be lukewarm? And the cause is self-conceitedness. Thank God for the apostle that taught before. He was all in my sermon. Relying on self. And the 21st century church has learned the art of relying on self, self-conceitedness and self-delusion. They felt as if they had everything that they needed. And you can hear it in their language. Now you didn't hear them speak, but you heard Jesus speak their heart. Who is diagnosing this problem? Who is exposing this issue? Not John, but Jesus himself. And there's nothing hidden. The Bible said that he's sitting in heaven and he's sitting and there's a sea of glass. The Bible said all things are open and naked before him. He said to Nathanael, before you came, I saw you. So there's nothing hidden from him. And he is exposing, because you said, maybe not in words, but in your actions. Maybe not in words, but thoughts. Because you says, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched. So the thought, the high thoughts. The Bible said that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. There's a spirit of arrogance in the 21st century church. We're arrogant in our speech. We're arrogant in our demand to God. We're arrogant in our prayers. We're arrogant in the way we live. We're just arrogant. We forgot who gave us the breath. We forgot who wakes us up in the morning. We just forget the high thoughts they had of themselves. I'm increased in goods. I don't have need. I don't have need. I don't have need. I don't have any need. My necessities are taken care of. But there's one need that they overlooked, and that's the need of the soul. See, you have need for clothes, you can buy it. You have need for food, you can buy it. You have need for relaxation, you can buy it. And I love the parable in Luke, the 12th chapter. In Luke, the 12th chapter, it said there was a rich man who was prosperous. He had a field, and his harvest was great. It was so great that he had to build another barn. And he slapped his chest. Remind me of Jamaicans. You know, Jamaicans like to slap their chest when they get real dramatic. And he slapped his chest and said, "Soul, I want to just eat and just be merry and enjoy your goods. Because you think you got it on your own." And the Bible said that night, his soul, not his harvest, his soul, not his money, his soul was required of him. The eternal part of you is what we neglect. And even, unfortunately, in our ministry and in our theology, we are focused on the outward part. We are focused on your cars, what you drive. We are focused on your houses, where you live. We are focused on the things that you put around your neck and the jewelry. But we seem to neglect the soul. We have equated prosperity on the outside and forgot about what's on the inside. Beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, they had learning, and they took their learning as a religion. They had gifts, and they replaced their gifts for grace. And they had wit, and they took their wit and thought it was wisdom. And they forgot about the law of the Lord. They had become self-conceited, full of themselves. You can hear it in the theology, and I am the master of my destiny, and I determine where I go, and I determine, and you forgot about the sovereignty of God. The Bible said that I'm in charge. I sit on the circle of the world, and I do it what I want, and who can say what doest thou? Lord, have mercy. He speaks, and the world comes into being, and he speaks, and men live, and he speaks, and men die. He is totally in charge, and we still can't handle it. I don't care how much tongues we speak in. We still grapple, with our little ego against the greatness of God. That's where the problem is, ladies and gentlemen. We still want a piece of the controller. But I am the Lord, I change not. Well, not only that, but they say they were rich, but they were really poor. They made no provisions for their starving soul. Not only that, but they were blind. It's interesting. The whole text is filled with irony. Irony because God has a way of giving us a certain slap to wake us up. They discovered scientifically a certain eye salve to cure glaucoma and to cure cataracts. But the Bible said, Jesus said they were blind. It's amazing. Oh, you feel like you got it all together when God said you're not really together. Even though you've developed this school of medicine way before your time, way before Yale School of Medicine, way before Johns Hopkins University, these people were so advanced that they were curing diseases of the eyes that we still grapple with today. But the Bible said that Jesus said, I don't care how many cataracts you cure, I don't care how many glaucoma you cure, spiritually you're blind. And the Bible said that the carnal man cannot comprehend the things of God because you're spiritually discerned. And in the church we are impressed with super intelligence. We hire people that can cross their T's and dot their I's. We're impressed with the loquaciousness of long vocabulary words. Oh, but we never check the soul. We never check the character. We never check their faith. We never check whether they believe that God is. For without God, you can do nothing. We still have the same problem. We believe that when people come with certain degrees, certain presentations, that they're a little bit cut above. But it's not the degree. It's how well we say, yes, Lord. It's how well we conform to the things of God. The Bible said we were once in this world, and the prince of this world had darkened our eyes, darkened our understanding, so that we couldn't understand who Jesus is. Man with the PhD couldn't understand salvation. salvation until God came and opened up our eyes. Lord, have mercy. Aren't you glad that your eyes are open? We don't rejoice over stuff like that anymore. Oh, but it doesn't take much for us to read something and understand it, because God took the scales off our eyes. He said to Israel in Isaiah, he said, you have eyes, but you can't see, and you have ears, but you can't hear, and you have a mind, but you can't understand, because if you did, you would be healed. But thank God that our eyes are open. Thank God that our ears are unstopped so that we can receive the things of God. Come on, Laodicea, you're too fat, too cute, too prosperous. You know where to go to get the new car. You know how to finagle to get the bling bling. You know how to do what you do so that people can say that you're blessed and highly favored. Oh, but when you go home at night, you're one step from cutting your throat. Suicide has increased in the pulpit. Oh, come on. Depression has become the disease of the church. When did we ever have a church filled with people with antidepressant? Something has happened to the church where we have forgotten who God is. Lord, have mercy. We are wrapped up in ourselves, caught up in our tradition, and we have forgotten the help of the Lord. Oh, but he's still the God of the ages. And without him, without him, without him, without him, I'm absolutely nothing. Without him, I can't make it. He is the God who rules. He's a God all by himself. He's a redeemer of the universe. And there's no other God like him. Put your hands together and let me hear you. Lord, just let me hear you praising. Blind says, here's the indictment. You're clothed and dressed up with your fine self, but you're really naked. You put a lot of emphasis on labels. You walk in and they say, I know what designer. I know what so-and-so and so-and-so. We put a lot of emphasis on the external. These people have become fat. They have become wealthy. They have become super intellects. They gathered in their churches. In church at Laodicea, they sang their songs. They had their order of service. They even had their preaching. But Jesus was on the outside. We use the scripture all the time to talk to sinners, but it's not to sinners. Revelation 3:20 is not to win sinners. It's talking to the church of Laodicea. You come in and you sit and you have your church with your fine clothing and you have your church with your gold and you sit up because you're the head of this bank. You can write the check. You can go and use your black card and you cross your legs and you sit proudly. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, oh, you have in church, but I'm not up in there. Oh, you have in praise and worship, but it ain't about me. Oh, you're jumping around, but it's not about me. Oh, you're even speaking in tongues, but you ain't thinking about me. But if you just open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and I'll have fellowship with you and I'll reveal myself to you and I'll impart my word to you. You're naked. The garment of justification and sanctification has not been worn. You're naked because even though you're rich on the outside, you're still full of guilt and pollution on the inside. Bible said all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And filthy rags there means, excuse the expression, but it's in the Bible. When you look at it, it means as a used sanitary napkin. So all your righteousness look just like that. So we have nothing to boast about. Paul said, I boast in him. And Paul knew what it was to be full of himself. Young man, young, budding young man, on his way to the top, getting ready to be placed in the Sanhedrin. A young man who was well educated, went to the school of Hillel and sat at the feet of Gamaliel, had the best professor, a well-rounded education, a Roman citizen and a Jewish born, came from a special home, came from the tribe of Benjamin. Lord have mercy, a cultured, educated boy, a boy that was full of zeal and passion. Oh, but when he met Jesus, listen to what he said. I count all things but dung for the excellency and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I count all of my accomplishments as horse manure. Lord have mercy, compared to what God has given me, compared to the grace of God, compared to what being redeemed, that cannot be in the same category. And until we lay all of our accomplishments at the feet of Jesus, our titles and our importance, we walk in the room and we must have special recognition. Oh, we ask for it and demand it. We don't need to wait for it to be given to us. The church has become a place of puffed up, arrogant people. Oh, we are dressed up, but we are naked, self-conceited and self-centered. And here is the indictment. Oh, you can get the loan from the bank. You can drive the car. Every 3 years, you can get a new car. We do all kinds of things to dress up the outside, to make a statement of prosperity. We base our anointing on our prosperity. You're prosperous because you have. You're anointed because you have. But your soul is dry. When a pastor can step out of his pulpit and go in the garage and blow his brains out, something is wrong with our relationship. Oh, but when you realize in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being, then you straighten up yourself and tell him you're in charge, God. Put your hands together. I want to hear you praise. I love Pastor Totola's presentation. It's the grace of God. We forgot that. We think it's the greatness of men, but it's the greatness, grace of God. We put our emphasis on personalities in the church. It's no more servants, but celebrities. We don't want servant preachers. We want celebrity preachers. We don't want servant ministers. We want celebrity ministers. If we don't have celebrity on the program, then we feel like we don't have a program. We've trained our people to only respond to celebrity. Those who are on television, those who have this and that. But we have forgotten that it's not celebrity, but it's servant. Jesus said, when he wrapped the towel around himself, boys, I'm getting ready to leave here. And I just want to tell you one little last thing. I'm getting ready to wash your crusty, low-down feet. As a matter of fact, one of you going to betray me and the other going to deny me. But I'm going to wash your callous feet anyway, because I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Can I get somebody to help me in here? Put your hands together and let me hear your praise. We have turned it backwards. Come on, Laodicea. You got a mega church, mega ministry, mega praise team, mega pews, mega chandeliers, mega whatever. But there's a mega hunger for righteousness. The need for God has been thrown out the window. All we want is connections. And if we have connections and a name, we think we can make it. But I got an indictment against you, Laodicea. You've forgotten about me. You've forgotten that if you don't have me, you really don't have anything. I just want you to praise him right here. We're going to drive that spirit out of the 21st century church. Come on and help me praise him. So what is a solution? Tell your neighbor, there is a solution. Shababandundo de mi aso. Oh, somebody help me praise him. Ishamana de Dios. Mana de Dios. And the Lord is demanding that the true leaders bring solution to the table. Tell your neighbor, bring solution to the table. You know what's going on. Don't be mute. Open your mouth and bring solution to the table. Go back and set your Laodicean church in order. Aya Jose, Kevan Sukuria, Rohon Shaban Tumba. Come on, Anianse. Help me right here, Mama. Here is the counsel. Tell your neighbor, here's the counsel of the Lord. Here's the counsel of the Lord. And then I'm truly finished. The counsel of the Lord comes from verse 18. I, Jesus, counsel you. Fine with your fine self. I'm counseling you with your smart self. I'm counseling you with your degreed self. I'm counseling you with your well-traveled self. I'm counseling you with your satisfied self. I'm counseling you. And the word counselor there means I am recommending. But it's not just recommending as if I'm just suggesting. Because you know, today when you counsel people, when I grew up in the church, they didn't counsel, they told you. I don't understand these. You know, it was no sitting down. You know what I'm saying? And so, you little girl, you need to just do this, that. As a matter of fact, come on up here, right here, so I can lay hands, and you're going to pray for 2 hours so you get it straight. We didn't have the luxury of having all these degrees in psychology, psychiatry, and Christian, whatever, to sit down for 2 hours and hear you lie, and then you walk out and do your own thing. We didn't have that luxury. Had that luxury. So don't take the word counsel here to mean that Jesus is just lightly suggesting. What he is commanding. You want to have a relationship with me, and this is what you have to do. I command it to be so. What do you want us to do to kill this spirit of arrogance in the church? To pull down the stronghold of self-conceitedness. It's flaunting. Flesh flaunts. They come and sing and flaunt. They rock to the side and flaunt. They tickle the keys and flaunt. They preach a whole message and never open the Bible. And you jump up and say hallelujah and flaunt. How are we going to put a stop to this? Oh, I know y'all ain't going to help me because you like to be entertained. How are we going to gain back the power in the church? Gain it back. So that the next generation will have the right understanding of what church is all about. Tell your neighbor, get it back, get it back. Come on, our sons and our daughters ought to know it's not the Lexus and it's not the Mercedes-Benz, but it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's not the Michael Kors shoes and it's not the bling bling. We have made it back, but tell your daughter it is a God who reigns. It's a God that can break the back of the devil and loose you from your madness. Come on and put your hands together. I need somebody to help. This is the advice. This is the counsel. What's the counsel? What's the counsel? He shall also give. I want you all to meet my daughter. Stand up, baby. She just moved. That's the only daughter I have. had her since she was a little bitty, and she's now here with her husband and her family. But I just want to let you know, here's a counsel, baby. Here's a counsel. Here's a counsel. I want you to buy of me. Gold. Tried. Is that what it says? Tried in the fire. That thou mayest be what? Who want to be rich in here? Everybody who want to be rich, stand up real quick. Want to be rich. See that? You lying because you know you want to be rich. You should be on your feet. You know you want to be rich. Come on, let's not play the game. You want to be rich. You should be on your feet. Don't be like the devil player. You want to be rich. Or you all want to stay poor. You all want to stay poor. Anybody? I command you to go buy me gold. Now, gold is a symbol in religion of the most precious religion, metal rather, which means that it is equal to the value of human beings. And that's what's being used here. The value of the soul, okay? Which comes to make you rich. But it's an irony. It's an irony. I'm asking you to go buy. Now, how can you buy something that's already been bought for you? Your salvation was purchased, not with the corruptible gift of gold or silver, but what? With the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to buy your salvation. Tell your neighbor, you're already bought. You're already bought. That's why you can't go nowhere. You're already bought. Tried to backslide and can't backslide because the Lord already bought you. So the blood of Jesus went all over you. He secured you on Calvary. Lord have mercy. It wasn't the blood of bulls or goats or turtle doves. But it was the blood of Jesus. And when he said it was finished, no demon in hell can pluck you out of here, his hand. Oh, come on, tell your neighbor, you're in it, you're in it, you're in it. He got you, he got you, he got you. Whether you're happy or not, he got you. So what is he talking about? What is Jesus talking about? The word buy here in the Hebrew coming from Isaiah 55 and 1, it means to break. It means to break the hunger. It means to stop the starvation of the soul. Something you're going to do to stop your soul from being so poor while your clothes is so rich. While your hairdo and your weave is about $400, but your soul, it's a problem. It's a problem. We want to look like Hollywood. We want to look like those folk on the reality show. We are focused on the outside, but our souls desperately empty. How you gonna break it? How you gonna break it? How you gonna break it? How you gonna break the hunger? How you gonna stop the loneliness and the emptiness after a good shout, after coming in the church and profiling, walking up and down the aisle and throwing your hair back, after you go through the subculture of the church and caught up in the tradition of nonsense, but you go home empty, frustrated, dry, and you have to go somewhere else to get relief? How you gonna stop it? Stop it. Buy. You know, buy what? What he's talking is, the Lord is actually saying, you're really beggars. You're rich, but you're a beggar. You have science, but you're really sick. You have the banking system, but you're really poor. What does that mean? Gold tried in the fire means something that's been melted down, refined, purified, It has gone through the test of severe heat and acid. It's been twisted and made that malleable. So the stuff around your neck that's real gold, it wasn't always looking like that. When it came out of the earth, it was a little piece of black dust, but it went through all kinds. The dross was taken off. The dirt was taken off. Heat and pressure. Pressure and heat. Heat and pressure. Acid. Beating it. It's been proven. And when you pull it up, you know you didn't have gold plated. We have gold plated church. Fake church. I said it's fake. How you know it's fake? Let a little stuff drop on it and it turns black. You know when you have a gold plated stuff on and you forgot to take it off and you go in the shower. And when you go in the shower, it's turned black. Ain't been through nothing. Can't stand the test. The real deal comes up under pressure. Lord have mercy. The real stuff shows up when the heat is on. The heat is on. The heat is on. And we have produced gold-plated Christianity. That's why some come and some leave. There's a backdoor syndrome. Used to come, but now they're gone. Now they're Baptist Hindu, or they're charismatic Hindu. They go to other people, Serenity Saturday and Serenity Sunday, and they're deep yoga, because it was fake from the beginning. Only those of us who've been through the heat and been through the storm, we are still standing. We've been knocked down, but we got right back up again, because we got the real goal. Tell your neighbor, I got the real goal. Come on and put your hands together. Tell your neighbor, this stuff is real, honey. I don't know what you're wearing, but what I'm wearing is real. Counsel you, go buy. Let's go shopping. Tell your neighbor, let's go shopping. Woo, Jesus. Woo, God. We went after the fake stuff. Now let's go after the real stuff. We went after personalities. Now let's go after Jesus. We went after an outward show. But let's go after spiritual growth. Come on and put your hands together. I want to hear you praise him in the house. All right. I just want to tell you what buying means. It's an ironic phrase. Can buy salvation. So what do you mean by purchase? You're going to purchase this new level of relationship. And what are you going to use to purchase it? You're going to trade in. It's a trade. You're going to trade in your self-righteousness. That's what you're going to use to buy. That's what you're going to use to buy. You're going to trade in your self-reliance. You're going to trade in. That's what you got. That's what you got now. He's not looking for money. He's not looking. What he wants is for you to trade in. It's a buying. You give me this, and I'll give you that. You want my anointing? Trade in your anointing. Your manufactured anointing. You want to grow and to do great things for God? Then trade in your little schemes and visions and your little concepts of what church is all about. You want me to bless you? Then trade in your own Bible and go back to the real Bible. Oh, you all don't hear me. It's a trade-off. I'm almost finished. The church needs to trade off what they have created and go back to what God said. Come on, buy now. Let's go shopping. Let's go shopping. Come on, let's go shopping. Come on, get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Get out your self-righteousness. Come on, trade it in. Trade it in for the glory and the honor of God. Put your hands together. I need somebody. Come on and help me. Tell your neighbor, this new place is going to cost me something. Shepherd the answer. Made the answer. Robo hoshkitas. Manananananananaya. This new assignment is going to cost you something. What is it going to cost you? Your own self-conceitedness. Your own self-reliance. As a prophet talked about, doing it in our own strength. Doing it in our own way. Following what Mega Church 1, Mega Church 2, and Mega Church 3 is doing. Going and spending $2,000, $5,000 in these conferences so we could copycat what we don't know. Oh, but all you gotta do is trade in your self-seatedness. Trade in your selfishness, your own righteousness, and tell God, give me what I need to get the job done. Put your hands together. Just want to hear your praise. Trade in, trade off your worldly desires. I went somewhere the other day, and it was a special occasion. Place was packed, and I heard about everybody else's accomplishments, and Jesus was just introduced very briefly. He was skimmed over. Everybody else got all that they need, and I'm sitting there burning up. Temperature went high. And I'm saying to myself, where am I? It can't be the church. And it bothered me all night long. And whenever anything bothers me, the Lord wakes me up at 4 or 5 o'clock, and then he gives me a word to explain it, because he knows I'll be aggravating him for the rest of the day. So he gives it to me early, and he gave me in Deuteronomy 32, he said, they esteem me lightly. Just enough to get over. But it ain't no real honor or respect. Come on, church, trade it in. We have our events and we don't even mention the name of Jesus. We have our preaching moments and we don't even quote the scripture. We give a little nice little story because we don't want people who are not church. We want them to understand, trust me, you got saved and they gave it to you straight. You were coming straight out the bar and somebody read you one scripture and Holy Ghost got a hold to you. Why do we have to change it up so that sinners can get saved? They gonna get saved anyhow. I said, trade it in. Trade it in your modern methods. Trade it in your cute little visionary acts. Trade in all the stuff that you have come up with in order to catch the people. Those people are not yours. God says, I draw them. How can they come except the Spirit? You don't need no drawing card. All you need to do is stand flat-footed and say what thus saith the Lord. And the Holy Ghost, didn't he arrest you? Some of you didn't even get saved in church. One of my preachers got saved in the bar. She was a barmaid and God saved her. Oh, don't you underestimate who God is. Don't you try to be God. Trade it in. Let's go shopping. What is this going to cost you trying to mimic somebody else? Your own self-sufficiency, your hero worship, your celebrity praise. When somewhere else, and at the end of the ceremony, they were playing. And since I don't know, because I don't listen to those things, because I feel like my mind should not be tainted. You know, certain things have guarded my mind. Not that I can't listen to it because it's going to take me down. No, I don't want trash in my head. So I don't play it. So they're saying, she said, Pastor, did you know they were playing Beyonce's song at the end of the event? And I really got disturbed because I just want you all to know that we are worldly. We can't go to a wedding unless we celebrate the reception the way the world celebrates it. Come on here. Everything we do, we have to take on the world. You understand? We have to have worldly music. We have to wiggle our hips, because if we don't wiggle our hips, we didn't have a good time at the reception. And that same couple got divorced next week. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Why can't we have our own celebration? Why can't we bring meaning to the institution of marriage? Why do we have to cheapen it? Because the world says that's the way it should be. Trade it in, I said, trade it in. Trade it in. Trade it in. Every time I talk like this, you all get mad, but listen. Why do I need the world to determine my fashion statement? Trade it in. Michelle Obama took on Jackie Kennedy's fashion statement and had no sleeves. We come in church, and some of us should not. There's too much extra stuff up under there. Too much stuff that's not defined. You know, it's not, at least those women who wear it, it's defined. You know, what muscle is what muscle. But when you put it on, we don't know what is muscle or fat. It's not defined. So we come in and we raise our hand with our own expression. It's distraction. When you gonna come in the church half naked? Come on here. We have gotten worldly and crazy. Stuff so tight. So tight we can't praise the Lord. Walk up to the stage and we almost have to carry you, because with the stilettos and the tightness, we think you're going to have an accident. Oh, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Come on. And I don't think that you have to look dowdy. Now, you don't have to be 16 looking like you're 90. Oh, but we think the world has the right answer. We want to be affirmed by the world. We want to be approved by the world. We think the world should tell us how to eat, how to drink, what to do with our bodies. And we bring that, trade it in. Don't you know that your body is a temple? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord have mercy. Don't you know that people ought to see God in you, and they can't see God when your bosom is in the way? I'm almost finished now. I really am. There's a bosom ministry in the church. I don't know where we got that from, but it's a bosom ministry. It's a bosom ministry. It's a bosom ministry. We can't hear the words of the song because something just keep popping up. Just keep shooting out, because somebody told you that you are sexy when your bosom and your cleavage is showing you. Somebody from the fashion industry that don't even like women told you. Ain't nothing like a well-dressed, classy woman. Well, you got to figure out what that is. You don't see, so your imagination is lit up. Ask any real man. He wants his imagination to be stimulated. That's what's wrong with men today. Their imagination went dead. They don't have to figure out. It's right in their face. But an interesting man will meet an interesting woman. He got to figure out. Now let me see. Oh my God. I wonder. You don't have to wonder anymore. It's all hanging out. And somebody lied to you and told you that the more you show is the more attractive you are. The devil is a liar. Trade it in. Come, let's go shopping. Let's go to Neiman Marcus. Hey, God, you help me today. Come on. Let's go to Macy's. There's a sale going on. I don't mind going with you. I'll put on my flats and walk with you. I'll help you. I'll go with you, and you save some money too. But when you come out, you'll be a reflection of the glory of God. Heads will turn. Lord, something inside of you will just shine out. Trade in. The way we handle his money. We don't pay tithes and offering because We turned on the TV to some crack teacher that told us tithing was of the Old Testament. And because we had problems with money in the first place, we found it very attractive. So we just give, and we don't have to pay just 10. You know, when we walk with the Lord, we can give more. That's a lie. If you're fussing about 10%, I know you ain't gonna get no 20. Come on, let's not play games with your mind. If you're fussing about 10%, the little bit of strength inside of you, you're not gonna have enough strength to go to 30%. It is said that some of the great men, some Lord and tailors that were built on religious men, and even some of the other men, Welch's grape juice, and even not Target, the other one, one of those great stores. No, that other store, but it starts with a T. Anyway, some of those stores, the owner started out by paying 90% tithes. That's why those stores are still standing today. So if you want to listen to people who want you to sell them atonement offering, listen. No tithes. Why do you need atonement when you're already redeemed? Why are you sending first fruits? You understand? When your first fruit is Resurrection Sunday. He's the first fruit of them that slept. And he rose. So if there's any special offering you ought to bring, it's Resurrection Sunday. To celebrate that your God is not dead, but he is. Why are you taking on all of that Old Testament, non-continuous stuff that was swallowed up in the new contract? I've got a better covenant. You don't need to celebrate atonement. Atonement is once a year, and they still sinned. But Jesus died, and we're still living in grace. Come on, trade in the poor, erroneous theology. Trade it in. Trade in the need to find something else to spark some life. Did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear that? No. Did you hear the word? It hasn't changed. Trade in your need for excitement and ask God to give you a settled peace for your journey with the Lord. You have become polluted, tainted. Now go and trade in your self-reliance and follow, as the preacher before me said, follow the grace of God. Follow the word of God. It's not designed to bring hoopla. It's designed to bring you into the presence of the Lord. Some days you don't feel it, but you know you're in it. Some days the storms have knocked you down, but you know you're going to come out. Why? Because you have God on the inside. You have the word of God, and you're standing on a firm foundation. The church has gone wild. Everybody got to prophesy to you and tell you you're blessed. You're blessed butt naked in the shower. Oh, yes, you are.